Good morning, everybody. We know lots of people are away this morning because they're with their families. Well, that's what they've told me anyway. Happy Mother's Day to everybody and to any motherly influences out there. And as we come together to worship this morning, time to give thanks for each one of them. And for those of us who've lost our mothers, it's time to remember and to look back at the memories that we've shared together. And today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, a time when we continue to journey with Jesus towards the cross and that wonderful resurrection morning. And today I feel is an invitation to stand at the foot of the cross this morning with Mary as Jesus uses those words, "Behold your mother." God placed his message of love where all people could see it and be touched by it. So as we come to worship, we come to worship God, who loved us before we were yet born, who knows us even better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, and whose love for us never ceases. This is our God. Let us worship him together. Amen. You're going to have to be louder than that this morning. Let's join together and sing number 94. Come, let us sing of a wonderful love. Let's come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. come. God gathers us for worship. As the book of Proverbs illustrates, like a mother who gathers her brood under her wings. Our God, loving, nurturing. In love, God saves and supports us, teaching us the way we should go. Trusting in God, we continually offer our praise. Our loving, nurturing God, who like a mother knows us intimately, loves us unconditionally, and comforts us in times of need. We praise God, the source and sustainer of life. We come to worship our loving God, who loved us before we were born, who knows us better than we know ourselves, whose presence never leaves us, whose love never ceases. Gracious God, your love permeates each of our lives. When we fall, you lift us. When we fail, you restore us. When we are wounded, you nurse us. When we grieve, you weep with us. We, your daughters and sons through Christ, praise you. But we know that we have failed to love as you do. We have filled our minds with selfish dreams and plans of our own without consulting you. We have made our hearts hard and cold and empty of compassion. We have forgotten our spirits and distorted your image within us. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, show us your ways. As a mother disciplines her children, we ask that you would discipline us. As a mother forgives her children, we ask you to forgive us. As a mother calls her children to be reconciled, we ask you to lead us to reconciliation with you and with one another. And we know that mothers come in many different forms, and today we come and celebrate them all. Loving God, we draw on the image of you as the one who nurtures, who gathers, who protects. We pray for those women who have nurtured us as mothers and who are no longer with us and whom we miss dearly. We reflect upon those women who have influenced our own lives in so many ways, and we give thanks. We pray for the women around the world who are working long days and nights to raise their children. We pray for mothers who have fled violence and difficult situations, as we see the situations on our televisions and in the news on whatever medium we use. We pray for the refugees and those who have been separated from their children or have experienced the tragedy of the death of a child. We pray for mothers living in uncertainty and facing the unknown. We pray for all the women who have desperately wanted to have children of their own, but choose instead to mother everyone else. And so we thank you, God, for the mothers in spirit. Lord, in your mercy, put your arms around each one and hold them in the tender embrace of your love. O God, we thank you for tending to us. We thank you for your wisdom. We thank you for pruning those things that suck the very life out of us and keep us from abiding in you. But Lord, we continue to go forward, knowing that we are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any that we have ever known. And so, Lord, I ask that you would bless each one of us. Amen. So we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So let's join together and sing our next hymn, which is number 987. Been reading through this Lent time the Women of Holy Week, as I shared with you a few weeks ago. It's been good to reflect on the women that have had some part in Jesus' life from the beginning right through up to the journey to the cross. And so as I was thinking about that this week, as I thought about Mothering Sunday, as I thought about a few weeks off Easter still, what was I going to talk about? And I started to think about the characters of some of the women that I've been reading about. And I'm going to spoil you this morning. We've got a couple of readings. Do you feel spoiled? I could have brought you flowers. I could have brought you chocolates. Instead, I bring you two readings. So the first one we're going to look at, just a couple of verses from Proverbs chapter 31. It's on page 668, Proverbs 31, page 668. It's headed up, Epilogue, The Wife of Noble Character. But if you're not a wife, you don't get away with it. Because in the English Standard Version, it says, an alphabet of womanly excellence. So there, and if you're a bloke, just get in touch with your feminine side this morning. But it's labelled as a wisdom poem. It's an acrostic. So if we read it in Hebrew, Do you want to do that this morning, Marcus? No, thanks. You sure? It would be the consecutive letters of the Hebrew alphabet, beginning and ending with the mention of the woman's excellence. And so we're looking just at verses 25 to 28. It says, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And you can read the rest when you get home, as I always say. The purpose of the book of Proverbs is to develop in men and women, and especially the young, a wise, skillful way of living. And to be wise in the biblical sense means beginning with a right relationship with God. And so as we read those words, her faithful respect for God motivates her attitudes and actions and brings her honour and praise. And we're probably thinking to ourselves, that's really hard when we hear some of that stuff. It's obvious that that kind of woman is not easy to find. But as I was thinking about it, I'm pretty sure that Jesus' mother Mary, having been raised in a devout Jewish family, would have been introduced to and pondered the words in Proverbs 31 as a girl, because as we know, she was still only a girl when she gave birth to Jesus, but also throughout her life as a mother of that holy family. I think that's why we see her strength and her character and her dignity and her conduct at the foot of the cross. She understands the opportunity each day brings to reflect God's glory in her everyday behavior and in the ordinary. And so as we go to our second reading, which is John 19 on page 1088. John 19, 1088, verses 25 to 27. As we think about mothers and mothers' influences in our lives, we return to the foot of the cross and we stand with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we hear his words to her. Verse 25, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and his disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And so, as we've had those two readings together, we see the creative pain of motherhood and the creative pain of the crucifixion, where salvation was won for each one of us. And so shortly, we'll stand with Mary and John at the foot of the cross. But first of all, we'll sing number 619, Such Love, Pure as the Whitest Snow. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that we can come together. We have so much to be thankful for. And so, Lord, we come with that attitude of gratitude. But, Lord, we come to know more of you, to understand you, to follow you. And so, Lord, we just ask now, open our hearts to receive you. Amen. Behold your mother. Aren't they beautiful words when you think about what Jesus was going through at that very moment? As we join Mary standing at the foot of the cross with the disciple John, the beloved disciple as he refers to himself, many paintings and sculptures depict them holding each other in support, hugging each other in their continued grief, and then hugging each other again as Jesus, in his compassion from the cross, creates a new family. Mary would have brought Jesus up in obedience to the scriptures. Proverbs also says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Well, knowing some of the old boys I know, I'm not too sure about that, but... But she would have treasured those things. And we see throughout the Gospels that she is with Jesus at critical moments. Obviously, having celebrated Christmas many times, we know that Mary plays her starring role at the birth of Jesus. We hear that she is favoured by God and entrusted with growing, delivering, and raising the person who will be God's hope for the salvation of humanity. She's present at the wedding of Cana and then goes on to have a quiet but constant presence through the rest of Jesus' life and beyond, as we see her in the early church. She's someone who knows her scriptures. Her song of praise that we read in Luke chapter 1, the Magnificat, as we've called it, or now as we sing it, Tell Out My Soul, which is why we have it as our last hymn, is spontaneous as she bursts into a song of praise. And those words come from around Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2, with other passages mixed in between. Her thirst for God's word can only have increased with the knowledge that her child was to be the hope for the redemption of Israel. We read, don't we, back in Luke chapter 2, that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. I wonder, as her heart was breaking, if these things that she'd been told and thought and kept and pondered helped her at that time. We remember her encounter with Simeon and Anna at Jesus' Thanksgiving at the temple, as they proclaim, see, the one who will not only bring salvation to the Jews, but also be a light to the Gentiles. And as I always say, if we're not Jews, then we're Gentiles, and we praise God. Moments like these must have had a lasting impact on Mary, who is piecing together a picture of God's redemption plan with parts of the puzzle still unknown. Standing with Mary at the cross, she may have known so much of God's intervention in her life and seen him at work in her unusual son. So surely she cannot fail to trust him as she stands there, even as she recalls Simeon's words, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, as she stands there suffering. And so that prophecy was to be fulfilled in John 19. Mary stands looking at her son now lifted up on a cross. He's suffering. She loves him beyond words. Even now, he's concerned for her well-being. The sword has pierced her soul. The crucifixion and the resurrection are the moments when all scripture is fulfilled and big picture begins to make sense as the puzzle pieces are put into place. Is it that obedience and trust and understanding that has brought her here to the foot of the cross? In her strength and dignity, Mary walks with her son as he carries his cross and stands with him in those final hours. We can't even begin to imagine the pain in her heart, how her soul was being torn apart that very day. As she gazes up into the eyes of her son, the Son of God, I'm sure she is replaying their life together in her mind as she ponders again and again. How could she have ever doubted him? She only had to reflect again on the way that he was conceived, the things that happened in his early years, the man that he has become. All those treasured memories stored up in her heart. Everything that he had done, everything that he had said, all tumbling over each other now. A sword will pierce your own soul too. Oh, how she must have felt it. They'd went through so much as a family to protect him, blocking out the whispers and the rumours, navigating their way, but always following God's way. She would have remembered those foreign visitors bringing myrrh for healing, for anointing, for embalming. For a high priest and king who didn't look like one then and probably doesn't look like one now, but he is, and she knew it. Do we know Jesus as our high priest and as our king? Mary would have realized that this is part of the story that she and the others must endure. It had to be a stepping stone to the kingdom that they'd been waiting for, the redemption of Israel as prophesied. God is always working towards his purposes. There was no other way. Looking at her child, yet God's son, she cannot hold on to him. She had to put him in the hands of the Lord where he belongs. As her heart is breaking, she prays and remembers and waits on the Lord. So beautiful to see Mary standing at the foot of the cross. So beautiful that she chooses to stand at the foot of the cross. Can you imagine the emotions and the thoughts running through her mind as her son hangs there struggling for breath? Yet she doesn't collapse in a heap. Instead, she stands courageously beneath the shadow of the cross. She stands there to be present and to support Jesus. There are times when others are in such pain that our only possible response is simply to be present with them. But the wonderful thing is that Mary never stops trusting God's plan. From the very beginning of her story, Mary gave a constant yes to her Lord, beautifully receptive to his plan for her life and for the world. Mary offered an unconditional yes. Jesus knew her agony, and he was aware that after his own death, there would be no one else to care for his mother. But as the eldest son, that concerned him. And so Jesus speaks to his mother and the disciple he loved standing there, "Behold your son." And then he says to the disciple, "Behold your mother." Even in his dying moments, Jesus' concern was for the future well-being of his family. And here, a new family is created in the shadow of the cross. She stands with the beloved disciple. She stands not alone, but in community. Mary said yes to the joyful mysteries of her life, but offered the Lord the same yes from the sorrowful mysteries he invited her into. And as believers, we're called to do the same. Like Mary, we're offered opportunities to trust the Lord in the good times and the bad. That's why the words of Proverbs 31 echo throughout this encounter at the cross. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, we read. For many of those qualities are built up over time, and as I said earlier, some of us may never attain such giftings. But the point is, what guides her heart of wisdom in this passage? What is her motivation? But it's not a what, it's a who. The one who guides everything she does is the Lord. Our world often looks at the outward appearance. But as we read those words from Proverbs, particularly verse 25, it's a beautiful description of the ideal woman's inner beauty. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. Or as the Message puts it, and she always faces tomorrow with a smile. Come on, you miserable lot. As we follow her example of devotion to the Lord for those he has entrusted to our care, we will be blessed and be a blessing to others. She is wise to the ways of the world, but lives by the wisdom of God. As I reflect on today's encounter at the cross, I see Jesus' arms stretched out as an embrace for the whole of humankind. There's that famous quote, isn't there, with a picture. I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus said, this much. And then he stretched out his arms and died. Mary chose the leap of faith. Here I am, the servant of the Lord, she said. Let it be with me according to your word. But because Mary made this choice, this courageous sacrifice, there was born for each one of us our Saviour. He went about Israel, teaching us how to live courageously and sacrificially, how to make a difference in life. And then he did the most courageous thing possible, the greatest thing imaginable, the greatest sacrifice that the world has ever known, to make the greatest difference in life. And as we know, it turned the world upside down. And his death on the cross changed every life ever since and made our choices easier. And you're going, what? What? Because Mary said yes to God, our choices are easier. Because we know the ending. I keep telling you, it's good news. Spoiler alert for those of you who've not got to the end, it is good news. We know how our lives will turn out in the end if we have faith in our Saviour. We know, as the scripture puts it, that God has plans for us and that these plans include being with us and with all those that we love forever. And that nothing in this life or this world can separate us from God's love or take us from his plans. Nothing. And because of that, our choice is easier than Mary's. We can make the leap of faith confident that God will catch us if we fall. We can say yes to God, knowing that God has already said yes to us. The Bible tells us that each one of us is chosen. We just have to say yes. We can serve God with abandon and follow wherever God leads, knowing that wherever our life leads us, God will always be right there with us. We can face unexpected events in our life and respond with faith, knowing that God will be faithful to us always. These unexpected events in our lives will still catch us unawares. We will still be perplexed. I'm sure, like Mary, we will ponder and we will ask, where is God in all of this? And we'll have to deal with the practical aspects of it all, but not on our own. When there is a choice to be made, we can choose the way of faith without fear, just like Mary, that model of womanly excellence who chose that same way of faith when she said yes, and who taught us how to live with courage and sacrifice and how to make a difference in life. So may Jesus embrace each one of us today and every day. It is by prayerfully getting on with whatever we face each day that we learn to trust God to fulfill his promises. So we wait faithfully on our Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you stretched out your arms of love on that hard wood of the cross, that all people might come within the reach of your saving embrace. We praise you and thank you that you are with us in all aspects of our lives, and particularly we need you in those times of fear and uncertainty. May nothing that the world throws at us make us waver, because we have confidence in you. We should not worry about the future. You created us in your holy image, so may we seek your wisdom always. May strength and dignity be our clothing in all things. May we build each other up. May we be strong in our faith and know your peace. Clothe us in your spirit, that we, stretching out our hands in loving service for others, may bring those who do not know you to an awareness and love of you, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God forever. Amen. And so we'll sing together Mary's song, number 631, Tell Out My Soul. Can't, thanks. Let's pray. We read in Isaiah, as a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. Go now in the comfort and peace of the one who created us. Go in the assurance that the Comforter is with us always. Go to give comfort and peace to others. Divine wisdom, guide us as we go forth on paths of peace. May we find joy in sharing these blessings with others. May wisdom empower us to change our world in and through your plan and purposes and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.